Amen. This morning we're going to continue on how to manage your emotions, and we're going to talk about emotionless people. Now, there are people out there who are unable to show emotion. I work with one guy, and I swear you can tell a joke that will have the whole room rolling, and he won't crack a smile. His lip doesn't even quiver or quirk or anything. And when he tells a joke, he does it the same way. There's not, I think it would hurt his face if he smiled. I think it would crack or something, because the man does not smile about anything. When he's upset, he looks the same. When he's happy, he looks the same. If he's confused, he looks the same. It's like his face does not change. Okay? Some people are emotionless or lack emotion. And a lot of times the reason is because they have learned from their past, from their history, that it's best not to. They've had some kind of traumatic experience that's taught them that the less emotion that I feel, the less I let them know that it's hurting me, the less I'll be hurt, the less I let them know that I really am excited about what they're going to do for me, then the more likely they'll do it again. You know what I'm saying? So they learn this behavior early on through trauma that they're living through, and they learn not to feel emotions. Now, that's pretty bad. But the thing is that just because they don't show any emotion doesn't mean they don't feel. What they've done is over time, they've built a wall. And they placed it around themselves so that nothing's going to affect me. Nothing's going to bother me. But yet when they're alone, they break down and weep behind that wall because of how hurt they are, because of all the things that happened to them. They don't let anyone else know that's where they're at, but they themselves know that's where they're at. So it's not that they don't have emotions that they don't feel, but it's that they can't show emotion. They don't know how to show emotion. They don't know what acceptable emotions are. Okay, because they weren't raised that way. It's like children who are raised and never touched, never kissed, never hugged. They don't know how to touch people when they get older. They don't know how to be close to someone, to just sit in someone's lap and enjoy being there close to them. And, you know, when they get older, they don't touch their kids because that's not a learned thing for them. So, you know, a lot of things we take for granted because of the way that we're raised. We were privileged. We had some kind of home life. We had some kind of parents that were worthwhile. They taught us things. We were allowed to experience our emotions and to be who we are. And we know what to do with emotions. We know how to express them. We know what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. But there are people out there who don't know. And it's because of past hurts, things that have happened to them, most of the time as a little child, that's formed them into this person that doesn't know how to express these things. The same thing happens with love, you know? Well, back in the day, it used to be that if you worked and you brought home money and you paid the bills, that's all it was required of you as a man because you were supposed to keep the household. Now, over time, men got away from doing that. And today, men don't know they're supposed to go out and work and keep a household because their daddies didn't. And all their friends' daddies didn't, or at least a lot of them didn't, and stuff. So it's not a given thing anymore because it's not a learned behavior. You know, children are what they see. And if they see parents that aren't doing the right thing, that's what they become. So if you have parents who don't know how to express emotions, guess what? You're going to have a hard time expressing emotions because you ain't like them. And you're not going to know what to do with it. Ephesians 4:17-19 talks about another kind of emotions. And it's called hardened or unbridled emotions, okay? And it says, so this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord and as in his presence, that you must no longer live as a heathen or the Gentiles do in their perverseness. in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, in the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, or banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, and the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart or to the insensitivities of their moral nature. Now, we talked about one type that feels nothing because they don't know what that is, okay? And I work with handicapped people, so I understand that because sometimes they don't know how to express what emotion they're feeling. They don't even know how to tell you how they feel, you know, because they can't say I'm confused because they don't know what confused is. And this is basically what I'm talking about. There's those type of people who are emotionless because they don't know what an emotion is. And then there's this type. And this type here has hardened themselves to a place where they're insensitive, basically. Nothing's going to hurt them. It goes on to say, in their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past-feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. Now, the people that fall into this category can actually be people who feel things, but they just desire to make themselves feel good. And so it doesn't matter. It becomes perverse. And it doesn't matter what they do to other people, how they make other people feel. They're going to do what they want to do because they're what counts. And as long as they're happy, it doesn't matter about any of you guys. I'm going to put me first. And this type of person is the type of person that they're talking about here in Ephesians, because they have taken and they have said, it doesn't matter. I'm insensitive to your feelings. I don't care if you cry. I don't care if your kids don't have food. I don't care what I've taken from you. See what I'm saying? It's a different type of emotionless. So this, you know, this is about people really who are basically unbelievers, because a believer would not be that way, okay? So it's about unbelievers, and it's telling us two things about them. First of all, that they become so callous and hard that they can get past feeling. Things don't bother them anymore. You know, you accidentally kill the kitty and, you know, you feel real bad, but if you kill enough kitties, you don't feel bad anymore. Okay? And this is where they get. They commit the sin so many times, they get past feeling bad about it. They get past that feeling that it's wrong. Okay? So they become callous and hard. But in the same verse, it says that they also live by their feelings in sensuality and carnality. So God gives us these feelings, and they have specific purpose in our lives. And that's so that we can use them to walk in Him. Okay? But you have to understand that with unbelievers, you know, Satan has the exact same thing on his side of the fence as God has. So if God does something, Satan imitates it in some way. And for the unbelievers, they become hardened to the place that they're past using their feelings for the right purposes, because they found new purposes to use them for. Okay? And where we would think about how it's going to make someone else feel, all they care about is how it makes them feel. So they take it out of context and they use their feelings for their own means. You know, the world's philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. And that came up probably back in the 70s, 60s, 70s. And, you know, today I think that it's gotten even worse. You know, people like to think that that went out with the hippies and stuff, but no, it's kind of bled down through the generations. And even if the slogan isn't out there, the mentality's out there that whatever makes me feel good, I'm going to do. And I don't care about you, and I don't care how it affects you. These are emotionless people, okay? These are the type of people that we're talking about. We as believers cannot live like that, okay? God tells us that we're to be servants. So guess what that means? We're supposed to be thinking about everybody else before we think about our own needs. So that's the complete opposite of what the unbelievers do. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weakness and infirmities and liability to the assault of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning." So according to this verse, Jesus experienced every emotion, suffered every feeling that you and I do. He went through them all. Okay? Yet he did it without sinning. Now, why did he not sin? Why do you think he didn't sin? Because he truly understood what his emotions were. And when you understand what your emotions are, and you control your emotions, you won't sin. Jesus knew that his emotions were just there to entangle him and trip him up and cause him to fall. So he didn't let them. But we do. All the time. Okay? Just get it right. We do all the time. Because we truly, even though we're hearing about our emotions and that we need to manage them, we really don't want to manage our emotions because there's still a little part of us that wants to feel good. That wants to do what we want to do. That wants to do it our way. Okay? And so that's why we sin. Fortunately for us, Jesus wasn't like us. Okay? Jesus was perfect. And Jesus knew exactly where he came from. And he knew where he was headed. And he knew the way he had to do. And in order to do what he had to do, he could not sin. So he kept his eyes focused on the prize. Not his prize, our prize. So that we could have the salvation that he offered us. That's why he didn't sin. There was something much bigger than him. Okay? And when things become much bigger than us, then we won't sin because we're not thinking about how we feel, but how others are going to feel by what we do. And we won't do the things we shouldn't do. If you look at the addict only cares about their next fix. They don't care if their kids have clothes. They don't care if their kids have food. They don't care if their kids are being cared for. Okay? Because they're focused on themselves and what they want and what they need. If you take any other parent who is truly being a parent, their first concern is for their children and what they need. And they will sacrifice things that they would like to have so their kids can have the things that they need. And so we do without our wants because it's not a need. And our kids' needs are more important than our wants. And that's what makes us different from the world. Okay, but we have to understand that that's what caused Jesus not to sin. Because that's what he was looking at. He knew that he couldn't give in to those wrong feelings. He knew why they were there. To trip him up so he could not bring us salvation. He wasn't going to have it, okay? He knew the Word of God in every area of his life because he spent years studying it. And even before that, you know, he began his ministry, he was in the Word. He knew what was in that book so he could teach others what it said in that book. You know, you'd think being the Son of God, he wouldn't study anything. He just get up there and start talking. But he didn't. You know, the Word tells us study to show ourselves approved. You know, anyone can get up and start talking. But when you study, when you get into the meat of the Word, then you can really tell people something. Then you can share something with them. The Bible tells us that as a child that Jesus was strong in spirit and filled with wisdom. And that's in Luke 2:40. So that by the time that he was 12 years old, he thought he was old enough to go to the temple in Jerusalem and be about his father's business. And that's all in Luke also, 2:41-52. You know, he still had years of learning before he entered into his full-time ministry. But at 12, he was ready. He knew he was ready to be about his father's business. He knew he had work to do. He knew he had seeds to plant. He had a harvest to get ready. Because when he got of age, what we would think of as of age, he was going to have to go into full-time ministry, and he was going to have to be ready and have the crop out there ready to be brought in. So he had work to do. You know, you and I are never going to be able to say no to our feelings if we don't have within us that strong knowledge of who Jesus is and what he did for us and what he can take us through. You know, it's one thing to say God can carry me through something. It's another thing to believe it. You know, and the words are nice and pretty and they sound good when we say them. But if we don't know it in here and feel it, we're going to have a hard time following through. So, you know, Jesus had the same feelings as we do, but he just never sinned by giving in to the feelings that he was having. So when we are hurt by someone and we feel angry and upset, you know, it's really a comfort to know that we can just lift our faces up and tell him our problem and vent ourselves to him instead of hurting another person. You know, so many times we react to situations and we spew out all this garbage all over the people that we love. And really what God's looking for us to do is to cry out to him. What did Jesus do in the garden? He was pretty fed up with his disciples, let me tell you. Okay? They couldn't even stay awake to pray for him. Stand by his side in his last moments. He's pretty disgusted. And he even told God, you know, if there was any other way. You know, if there was any other way. But it's a comfort to us because we can. We can just lift our faces. We lift our hands, lift our voices up to God, and tell him where we're at, what we're feeling, what we're going through. And if we give it to him and lay it at his feet, he'll take care of it. And then we don't have to sin. Okay? Jesus often went off alone. And I know it was because he was frustrated with us people. Okay? That's why he did it. And that's what we need to do, because why? We get frustrated with us people. Okay? We're no different than him, but we handle it wrong because we let our emotions override us and we spew out the garbage instead of going to the Father. Say, Lord, it's me again. You're upset, daughter. You're upset, son. And look, right now, this is where I'm at. And let him know how you feel. And then maybe by the time you're done talking to him, you'll have a whole different perspective of what just happened. So, you know, Jesus, he has this, there's a way that he had of just turning to the Father when he had to talk to someone. And we need to get that same relationship with him. The problem with most people is they don't have a relationship. They go to church, they read the word, and they go about their business. Some of them even memorize the word and can quote it to you, but they still don't have a relationship with him. In order to have a relationship with God, you need to talk to the man or the God, okay? You've got to go to your Father. You've got to converse with your Father. If you don't converse with him and have a conversation with him now and then how are you in a relationship with him? And how are you going to know that he's there for you? And how are you going to lean on him when times are hard? Okay? So we have to get to that, you know, a different way of thinking. It isn't a matter of just thinking that I shouldn't feel this way. It's a matter of crying out to God and letting him know that, look, I need help here. Or I'm not going to act very godly and I don't want to be that person. So you need to help me so I can get through this. And still look like a Christian when I'm done. Okay? Because a lot of times we don't. And, you know, I think that's why people go, and you call yourself a Christian? And they don't understand that we're human. That we hurt. You cut me, I bleed. You kick me, I say, ouch. Okay? I hurt just like you do. Just because I go to church, just because I read the word, just because I'm striving to be like Jesus does not mean that I don't have feelings. And I'm still going to lose it every now and then. And I'm still going to look bad every now and then. I'm going to have to go before God and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I just made you look so bad. But we do. And I don't care how close you get to God, you're going to mess up. Don't let it knock you off your feet. Get back up. Face your punishment. Okay? Get the paddling out of the way and go on. Because, you know, it's all it is. It's a stumble in your walk. It's not something to take you out. But we let our emotions come in and tell us we're unworthy. Tell us that we can't do this no more. Tell us that people are going to think badly of us, not believe in us or whatever. Well, if they're believing in us, they got a problem anyhow. I don't look to any man to follow. Men will fall. And they will leave me going, now what? Who do I follow now? But if I keep my eyes on God and I turn to God with my problems and give him my feelings and my emotions and all the things that are bothering me, then I'm having a relationship with my Father and he will be there for me and he will bring me through all things, even with my emotions. You know, some people think that they can't get upset with God. He can. He understands. He knows you got feelings in there. And he knows sometimes we just have to say things and get them off our chest. You better believe I had some hard times with him the 3 months that Gabriel was gone. And I wasn't very nice to him some days. But in the end, I always told him I was willing to wait and do what he wanted me to do. You know, and that's the bottom line. You don't have to always like what God wants you to do. Sometimes we kick against those things that God asks us to do. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to do them. It just means we got to let people know that, hey, I'm not happy with this. You know, I'm doing it, but I'm not really happy with this. And really, God's the one that you need to talk to about it. Because God can change your heart and make you want to be there. People can't do that for you. So, you know, we have to, in order to have compassion and understanding and a softness of heart, we have to understand what God goes through or what Jesus went through. And we have to understand that we're not going to be perfect. This thing is not something that is an easy thing to do. Your emotions will grab a hold of you, shake you all over the place, and run you up and down and all over and walk all over you and everything, if you let them. You know, Jesus says that he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be humble, gentle, meek, lowly. You know. Sorry, there's no eyes in there. Okay? There's nothing that says that I'm supposed to jump up on a box and say, hey, everybody, here I am. Look at me. I'm a child of God. Hey! Look at me. I have feelings. I want you to notice me. That's not who we are. Because if you ever really think about a relationship with God, where does a servant stand? They're on scene for the most part. They're behind the scenes. They're taking care of all the little things that nobody else wants to do. They're serving the meals. They're not sitting down at the table. And too many times children of God think that they're supposed to be sitting at the table, being served, when they are supposed to have the very food that the people need to be served. So if they're sitting at the table, who's going to serve them? We let our emotions get in our way, and it hinders us from doing the things that God would have us do. It hinders us from being the person that God would have us be. You know, too many times I see people fall because they let pride get in there and they want to be the man of the hour. They want to be the one that everyone goes to, the one everyone looks at, the one everyone wants to be next to. Well, baloney on it. Everybody in this room gets dressed the same way I do. Everybody has the same problems I got. Okay? So, I'm not no better than anybody else. Nobody else is any better than me. We're all in the same boat together. We all have to take our turn at the oar. Sorry. I don't like slackers. If I got to work, you got to work alongside of me. I'm sorry. God doesn't want us to be pampered children. He wants us to be workers. But if our feelings are in the spot where we think we're it, we're what it's all about, we're in a bad place. Because you're letting your emotions overrun you. It's not about you. People get upset with me when I say it's not about me. But it isn't. It isn't about me. I'm one little tiny person in this great big wide world. My lifespan is nothing at all compared to everybody's lifespans combined. I'm nothing. The only thing I can ever hope to be is what God is in me. And if my emotions get in the way, then I can't be that person. Do you know how many times I've said at home, God, I really don't want to go to church today. I really don't feel like singing. I really don't want to teach this word. I don't. And I get myself up anyhow. And I bring myself in here. And I set myself down or stand up there. And I do it. Why? Because that's what I'm going to do. That's what I've committed to doing. And it's because of that commitment, because of knowing that if I put my foot forward and make the effort, God will be there and he will show up regardless of how I feel. Sometimes I can't talk, but I get up there and sing. It's not about me. It's not about how I feel. It's about the anointing. And you're nothing without it. So if you're looking at being all pumped up, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be a billow to help pump you. I'm not. Because we're all in this boat together. And it's about how everybody else feels. It's not how I feel. It's about all of you guys. And what you need. And what can make it better for you. And that's how it should be. Because, you know, when you're always looking out for everybody else, you know what happens? God takes care of you. And you just have to know that and believe that. But guess what? You're not going to know it and believe it unless you get a relationship with God. I'm sorry, the stranger down the street ain't going to do a thing for me because I don't know him. But God, I have a relationship with. And I can depend on him. And I know that no matter how I'm feeling, that he's going to accept me and love me just as I am. I don't have to be anyone but me for him. Sometimes other people would like for me to be different, but, you know, I'm sorry. No matter what our past experiences, no matter what our present feelings are, you know, we need to feel that compassion towards others. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember what God did for us. And we need to help them understand that God did it for them too. Sometimes it's hard to do that, especially with people who have been hurtful to you. Sometimes, you know, they say, keep your enemy close to you. Maybe you just need to keep that person close to you. Pour a little of that God love into them. Let it overflow. Let them get some too. Don't be jealous of them. When they get slapped up alongside the head and they get more than what you think you have right now in your mind with your feelings and emotions, don't let it upset you. Because, hey, didn't you want them saved? Why are you jealous? Didn't you want to see them set free? Then let them be free. Don't bind them up. You know, our emotions are such a jungle to us. And we have such a hard time getting through them because these are the things that it does to us. It doesn't want us to see what God has done for us. All it does is point out all the things God's doing for everybody else. So we can sit around and get in our emotions and be upset. And guess what that causes? It gives us disunity. And if we're not unified, guess what? God can't move. And the enemy has been successful once again. because of emotions. People come in and have a spirit of offense fall on them, and it binds up the spirit in the room. It binds up the anointing. It doesn't allow the spirit to flow because of emotions. Emotions are strong things, guys. You have to recognize that. You have to know that they are what they are. But you can manage your emotions. Give them to God. That's how I manage mine when I can't handle. I give them to God and say, okay, I'm here at the spot again. These are yours. I can't handle them. So whatever you're going to do, do it quickly, please. Because I'm at the end of my rope now. And I give them to him. And I walk away from it. And I don't pick it back up. Every now and then I'll go, thank you, Lord. I know you're doing that. This is where we need to get to. Because it's our relationship with him that's going to make or break us when it comes to our emotions. You need to understand that. Because your emotions are going to either make you successful for God or hinder you every step of the way. It depends on how you manage them. Amen. Brother Brett, can you close us in prayer this morning?